Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, intern Robert here with you on this Monday morning. Titans fall 24-17 to the Chicago Bears. A disastrous interception from Will Levis. Disastrous special teams yesterday. And the Titans are in an 0-1 hole. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I am delightful. How are you guys today?
Delightful as well. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So let's just start. We always do.
Yep.
Let's just start with the Levis part of this. So, Corey, I thought yesterday, even prior to the interception, not a great day for Will Levis. Had some misses to Ridley down the field. Had some misses other parts of the game in the shorter passing game that you just can't have. And then you compound it with just a disastrous mistake by him on the interception. What did you make of his day, the lack of success throwing the football, and just the atrocious interception at the end that you just can't have?
Well, I mean, I don't know about the short passes that he missed. I know he threw some away. I know he did, like, you have a shot, you have the punt block. The play before that is the deep shot to Ridley where he's open.
Yeah.
And, it's a compounding effect. You miss an opportunity, and then you really pay a price for it. Now, the block punt's not on him, but you don't have to punt if you – and that's more of what we saw in camp, the two of them struggling to hook up on the long stuff downfield. So, to me, that's more concerning – because that's something that was a problem in camp, and that's something that they're still trying to get fixed. Like the decision at the end is terrible. It can't happen. It's not just hero ball, but it's game awareness. You're in the lead. A punt's not the worst thing. He owned it, which I think is important. It's not everything, but look, we've heard quarterbacks in the past, Vince Young, Zach Bettenberger, when they have horrific decisions or performances, say the mighty lines of, well, the other guys get paid too. And he didn't do that. He owned all of it. And that's the first step in fixing it. He's learning to play the position in a new way. And, for a half, he did it. He stayed out of trouble and took the easy throw, threw the ball away. I know he dirted a couple of them right at guys' feet rather than force a bad issue. And he just didn't finish the deal. So, again, it was bad. There's no way around it. He can't make that mistake. The question is, in 3 weeks, is he making that mistake again, or is he learning from it? I'm not making excuses for him, but I'm not going to pretend other young quarterbacks haven't had terrible decisions along the way. I continue to say Peyton Manning threw 100 interceptions his first five seasons.
Who knew Zach Mettenberger would catch a stray today? My goodness. He couldn't own up to his badness as a quarterback.
And let me tell you, there's a lot of badness with the Met show. A lot of badness.
Yeah.
Some excitement at times. How about the other side, Corey? I mean, Caleb Williams throws for 93 yards, I guess. Wins the game. How do you feel about, him, the Bears at large, and also the Titans defense based on what you saw yesterday?
Well, you agree with this. The Bears gave the game away in the first half. The Titans gave it away in the second half. The Titans just gave it away bigger.
Yeah,
that's fair. Because when you look at the first half with the Bears, Caleb misses Keenan Allen streaking down the sideline. I mean, that's got to be complete. And he missed him by 5-10 yards. And then Keenan Allen drops a touchdown. That cost them 4 points just before halftime. He put it right on his hands. He was not good. But you know who was good? 93 and 98. They were a problem. And I think they were a problem that he was not prepared for. The Bears center is also a problem. He's terrible.
Yeah.
Did you see the hit Ernest Jones put on him?
I did.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
He knocked him into next week. And again, it's his first start. He was worse than I and I think the entire country expected. I think both these defenses are pretty good. That's not to make an excuse for them, but I think they're both pretty good. And both quarterbacks are going to have to step up their game and be better. But again, let's see where he is in 3-4 weeks. And then we can make our decisions of, well, it's time to be concerned about this guy.
So, Corey, on special teams, you know, back-to-back games for Ryan Stonehouse anyway. The last regular season game he played, he got almost destroyed in Indianapolis. And then a similar situation yesterday that thankfully he was able to walk away from. What do you make of just what's going on special teams right now with the ability to protect the punter? Obviously, there's a different coaching staff in here now, so it's a different situation. I thought special teams as a whole yesterday, other than Nick Folk making his kicks and Valus Jones deciding to punt the football to the Titans on the kick return, were an absolute disaster. The return game did not go well. They couldn't cover punts. They got the punt blocked. What did you make of special teams? How big a red flag is that for you after one game?
Well, again, it's one game, but it was terrible. The coverage was terrible, and it was surprising because in the preseason, the special teams looked pretty good. Coverage and return, you know, we were all looking that. I mean, I know Jared was doing a victory parade about special teams. So it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say, you know, today,
because that
group was not good enough, and, you know, they've got some things to correct. Again, up 17-3, you can't get a punt blocked. You know, it's like throwing the interception. You know, just this can't happen. And I don't have the all 22. I can't tell you exactly why, but it looked like a guy just got beat right up the middle. And that can't happen. And so they've got to fix those things because, you know, while Will Levis bears a ton of responsibility for the loss yesterday, that play also does as well. You know, look, the Chicago Bears finding a way to win without actually having offense is a story 100 years old. So it's not something that's shocking to see in Chicago because they've had to do it forever. And so, you know, I had people coming up to me at halftime talking about how the game was already over. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. This is the NFL. There is a long way to go. And you see just how quickly it can swing and how the details matter in every part of the game because mistakes, you know, cost you ultimately. The defense, I don't know, did they have a mistake or at least a mistake they paid for?
There was late in the game, the little end around to Moore. You got to make that play. But, I mean, few and far between.
Yeah. You got to be searching hard.
And they got beat deep. Like you said, Caleb Williams did miss some throws
where
guys open.
The first half, And, you know, the offensive line made Daryl Taylor look like an all-pro.
They did.
J.C. Latham on the fumble, J.C. Latham got to get more from that. Got to get more than that to protect Levis's backside. But, again, we're talking about special teams and that they've got some film to look at and they've got some stuff to fix. And, you know, we'll see how good the coaching staff is in their ability to fix it again. Is this a problem 2 and 3 weeks from now? Because if it is, then we've got a real problem. You know, what do they always say? Week one lies. We'll find out, you know, for both teams. I mean, does everybody think the Patriots are going 17-0? Because I don't.
No.
And so, again, I'm not poo-pooing the loss. It's disheartening. It's frustrating. It's, you know, you should be 1-0. If you just hand the ball off and punt for 2 quarters, you should probably win that football game. But they didn't, and they made mistakes, and they've got to learn from them. And Levis has got to be better, and, you know, we'll find out. We'll find out. But this snap to judgment that the season's over is ridiculous.
Well, you mentioned the coaches. That was going to be my next question is, again, one game, and there's so much to find out, and so much of week one for a lot of these teams will turn out to be at least somewhat deceiving. But what did you think of just the, you know, the play calling and all that from Brian Callahan in his first game?
Well, and I know a lot of people thought it was conservative. It was more along the lines of what I expected. I expected him to play this one closer to the vest. I expected the running backs to be a big part of it. Obviously, Pollard was a much bigger part of it than Tajay Spears was, and he was really, really good in the first half. And I thought, you know, their game plan in the first half was really good. He was struggling in the passing game early. He rolled Levis out and got him that pass to Vinette, and kind of got him going a little bit. The run game combinations, looked really good at times in the first half. So, that all went well. But the second half, if Brian Callahan or any offensive coordinators will tell you, it's a lot tougher to call plays on 2nd and 10, 2nd and 15, 2nd and 9. 3rd and 15, 3rd and 12, and that's what they ran into in the second half: penalties, and Chicago bottling up the run game in the second half on first down, put them behind the sticks, and it then created pass rush situations to which they are not good enough up front to handle against that team in particular. And so, one situation is easier to call plays than others in. And I think the patience of the first half I liked a lot, too. There wasn't a lot of panic there when it didn't go their way early.
Corey, I agree. One game, week one is ripe for overreaction in the league. I am curious, though. I mean, the Ridley-Levis connection has been something we've talked about all throughout camp. And they have struggled to get on the same page for whatever reason. And I know, you can chalk at least a couple of them up yesterday to the quarterback just missing the throw. They did have another play in the fourth quarter where they were not on the same page, where Levis was expecting a back shoulder throw and Ridley kept running with the route. So clearly that's still a problem between those two. How concerned are you at this point that we've gotten to week one of the regular season and through camp and those two clearly are not on the same page?
Well, I think that's among the more concerning things. It doesn't mean they can't get it fixed, but like you said, this is something we've been talking about. That's why I said the deep ball miss on the play before the block punt, that concerns me, because that's something that we've seen, repeated in practice. And so that's been something that's been addressed, and they're still having a hard time getting it fixed. And so you're talking about legitimate concerns, like, hey, yeah, but we've seen this. I think that's up higher on the list for me. They've got to get these two guys on the same page somehow, some way. I mean, he's too good of a receiver and too fast to not be getting the football, especially down the field. You don't get many of those opportunities. I mean, the Bears will say the same thing with the Keenan Allen shot. You don't get those opportunities that often. When you have them, and you have a pocket to throw from, you've got to be able to connect on most of those. And so, if they can't get that fixed between those two, it's going to hamper their season without question.
Since we're making sweeping judgments today, of course, as we always do after week one, what about just the Bengals? You mentioned Jerod Mayo. The Bengals can't score the foul. The defense has really had a weekend for the most part in the NFL. Yep. Are we seeing this cycle back?
No, I think what we're
just
seeing
just early season.
Number one, watching the Bengals struggle was extremely predictable. Ja'Marr Chase has not been at practice. T. Higgins did not play. And so you're missing some of their core pieces. Tyler Boyd's a Tennessee Titan. So you've got one of their big three, and he hasn't practiced in a month. It was not surprising to see them struggle in the slightest bit. The other thing you saw, Joe, was a lot of blown leads. Jaguars blew a touchdown lead on the road. The Arizona Cardinals blew a 2-touchdown lead on the road. So the Titans weren't alone in missing opportunities, this weekend. Each team had their own way of doing it, but they all did it. And what it reeks of is teams not playing a lot in the preseason. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to go out and play on the preseason, but you're ripe for more of these things happening, early in the season, because teams need more football time, and I'm not talking about practice. I'm like in game actual scenarios. Again, we'll see where they are in 4 weeks. We'll see where the Bengals are when Ja'Marr Chase actually practices and if T. Higgins is healthy. I have a feeling they'll score a few more points. I do not think that the Patriots will score a few more points because their personnel is just not very good. So, look, could the defenses be better? Sure. But I've got a hunch things are going to level out relatively soon.
Corey, it was a fun week one in the NFL. Looking forward to the Monday night game coming up tonight between the Niners and the Jets. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us this morning, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, before I go, just let me say, I am stunned that Jordan Love is not done for the season.
I am too.
When you saw that injury, there is no way you thought he would play again this year.
Ooh, thank no goodness. Way. I mean, thank goodness for him and for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen other knee injuries where you're like, oh, well, I hope he's okay. You saw that one, you're just like, he's done.
Yeah.
And that's just the amazing thing about the human body is that it's different for everybody and how it reacts, because that looked absolutely terrible. So, you know, it is good for the NFL. It's not good for the NFL when you lose starting quarterbacks. But it does set up an interesting scenario in Nashville in 2 weeks. So
I'll give you a live report on how Malik looks this weekend from Lambeau. I'm going. I'll get to see him in person.
Hey, you enjoy that, because I know there's a big segment of the fan base that says, oh, here he goes. He's finally getting the opportunity he really deserves. And my reaction is, yes, going to a new team and starting in 3 weeks is exactly what he needed.
I got into it with some Packers fans yesterday. It was like, Willis is a better option than Tannehill anyway. And I was like, okay, guys.
Oh, right, God.
Right, here we go. Oh, boy.
All right, guys. Thank you. Appreciate it.
See you, Corey.
Thank you, Corey.
All right, you guys have a good one.
You as well. Corey Curtis from News 2 joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. We'll take your reaction to the Titans' Week 1 loss to the Chicago Bears, Will Levis's horrendous fourth quarter interception, and a disastrous day once again from the special teams unit. All on that. More on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Nashville's best deal this week is 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Check them out at 371 Monroe Street in Germantown, or order takeout online at 312pizzaco.com. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get half off a $30 gift card to 312 Pizza Company while supplies last. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. They fall 24-17 to Chicago in Week 1, dropped to 0-1 on the season. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Kenny the Mailman. Kenny, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Fellas, how are y'all doing?
Great, Kenny. How are you?
All right. Y'all know me pretty well. I don't call in and rant and rave and make just wild statements, outlandish statements, or call people names, do I?
You do not.
No.
I always try to, you know, be even killed, but I'm 62, so I've been watching football about 55 years. That was one of the single worst plays I've ever seen in the NFL from Will Levis. And here's what's so disturbing. You've been working with the young man all summer long. Hey, don't make the outlandish plays. Don't run downfield and dive head first. Don't throw it backwards 20 yards. And then he gets out there. And you almost want to say he does a Jerry Lewis impression. I mean, just think, you're going to throw the ball sideways over 30 yards. Even if it got to the guy, what are you doing? You know, you're just almost at a loss for words. When you work with someone all summer and say 2 + 2 = 4, remember, if you see that on the board, go up there and write 4. It's like he walked right in and wrote 5 on the board.
Yep. Yep, thanks for the call, Kenny. Appreciate it.
Yeah, hey, y'all have a great day.
You as well. I mean, a couple of things there I think important to highlight. Number one, I mean, I think he's exactly right about the interception. I mean, it's just – it's almost one of those ones where the ball gets thrown out of his hand, and while it's in mid-flight, you're thinking to yourself, if you're a Titans fan, did he really just do that? Like, did he really just float that one up there? And then, of course, you know, they catch it, pick six, and you can see – I mean, Will Levis, there's a nice still shot of him on the ground – with, like, his hands on his head as the Chicago defense is running back.
Yeah, he immediately –
I mean, he's just – he's like, I can't
surrender Cobra instant.
What I just did. But, like, to Kenny's other point, you know, they've talked about making good decisions with the football. They've talked about, you know, taking what the defense gives you. Well, on that play specifically, you're trying to do way too much, and it ends up in total disaster. And I said it earlier. He took some hits in this game running the football – where I was just like, man, what are you doing? Like, you can't do that. Early in the game, he gets the first down running the ball. He's already picked it up, and then he lowers his shoulder and jumps. Like, jumps with his back exposed to the defender. He gets hit right in the kidney, falls down. I'm like, if you play that way, if you don't learn how to slide, you are not going to make it 17 games in an NFL season. And they've talked about that. We've talked about that. You got to find a way to be smarter. He took the hit in the preseason game and was like, okay, well, it's a one hit. Maybe he didn't see the guy coming. He was at the goal line trying to get there. It is what it is. But it's clear. Like, he has not learned how to protect himself, and that's a big problem to me heading into this season.
Yeah, the long-term implications, that is definitely, like, it's just getting the first down. I look, the team appreciates it. You know, I appreciate a quarterback who, if it's, you know, you're in a close game and the only way to get to the sticks is not to slide. Hey, you know, sometimes you know, quarterback slides right at the sticks and they don't, and it's like, man, just put your head down, go down, but go forward, right?
Yeah.
But when you know you've made it and you still take those hits, that is not sustainable. He won't last long. And then, you know, just some of the misses. The decision, atrocious. I'll say it right now. That'll be the worst play of his NFL career.
God, I hope so.
I mean, that'll be the worst play of his NFL career, because it's like Kenny said. I mean, it's hard to be, again, with not just the play but the situation.
Yeah.
Defense dominating, good field position, all that, and you just, like, you taking a sack is not a big deal in that situation, but. Yeah, the misses and the chemistry with Ridley and just the overall play by him also wasn't very good. So it's just a bad start. We got some texters today. We got some real, real beauts on the text. Now, first of all, Bears fans are insufferable, aren't they?
Yes.
I've known this my whole life. My God, shut up, Bears fans. Take your win. And I feel worse about your team today than I did before the game yesterday. So we'll see. The Titans need to hope the Bears are the freaking 85 Bears on D, and that they're not going to protect like this. But I forget the – oh, and then, yeah, we got the Notre Dame apparently got paid to lose to Northern Illinois. We got some great texts. We also have some texts that are saying, you know, basically that, you know, this shows you Levitt, the national media was right about Levitt, all that stuff. Right now, it's hard looks to argue. That way.
I mean, it looks that way.
But, yeah, let's –
this is look, this is a situation, and again, we come back to this principle a lot on our show of two things being true. Yesterday was a disaster and in many ways very concerning about Will Levis. There's no doubt about it. I also think that if you're ready to just totally pull the plug on him after 1 week in year two in a new offense where he's starting his 10th game in his NFL career – I think you're being a little bit quick of a rush to judgment there.
It's early.
It's early.
It's now, early to do that.
I will say, like, he's got to get the misses. The interception is bad. I'm not as concerned about the interception moving forward because I doubt very seriously he's going to make too many more decisions that are that dumb, okay? If so, then the decision is going to be easy pretty quick here for the Titans. The misses are what concern me more than anything. He's missing too many guys that are wide open. And if you do that long enough in the NFL, you're not going to be a starter. Like, he's got to find a way to limit the misses more than he is right now.
No doubt. Chuck says he looked exactly like Kentucky Levis. I've seen a lot of that, too. But remember, there's two Kentucky Levises. The year before, he was playing so well that they were talking about him being the number one overall pick the following year. And then his last year at Kentucky, I mean, they were horrific up front. He also threw, and we saw the game in Knoxville. Vol Twitter is coming back on. Hendon Hooker was trending yesterday because of Will Levis. Yeah. Hendon Hooker was trending the whole, you should have drafted Hendon Hooker. Well, we still haven't seen Hendon Hooker play a significant down in the NFL. I think he's going to be good too, but it's early. It's early. It's concerning.
It's concerning. We'll take more of your thoughts on Will Levis, the performance for the Titans yesterday, blowing a 17-0 lead in week one. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We are live from our 1025 The Game studios, brought to you by Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to Legends of Old School coming up at Ascend Amphitheater on Friday, October 4th, featuring Dougie Fresh, Slick Rick, Big Daddy Kane, and others at Ascend Amphitheater Friday, October 4th. Be caller 3-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025.
If my kid didn't have a high school football game that night, I would be there with TD doing the WAP for that show. TD, if you're listening, you know what I'm talking about, man. Dougie Fresh and Slick Rick, are you kidding me?
Are the Titans at home that Sunday? Because if so, I mean, TD might be there anyway.
But even if they're well, – it's a Friday, right?
It's a Friday. He's
no problems. I'm not huge on the Tretch aspect of it. It's fine. Yeah,
I said Treach.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it wrong.
It's fine. Whatever. But Dougie Fresh and Slick Rick? Holy crap.
615-737-1025. Discussing Will Levis and the Titans 24-17 loss yesterday. Joe, a game where, like, I don't know how the season's going to play out. The Titans may end up being bad enough where the playoffs are not even a thought at any point this year. But, I mean, it's week one. They could turn around, figure some things out, and be competitive as the division goes. I will say, you know, Houston gets the win against Indy yesterday. So Indy 0-1. Jacksonville blows the lead. They're 0-1. Titans 0-1. So the rest of your division outside of Houston, who played Indianapolis, also lost yesterday. So there is that, I guess.
See, there's good things.
There's some positivity to find today if you want to look for it. But yesterday, it felt like one of those games where, as is often the case in the NFL, things are really close as the season goes along. The margin for error is really difficult. And you can always point back if you miss the playoffs to a game or two where you're just like, man, if only that one would have turned out differently, what sort of a difference would that have made? It felt like one of those for the Titans yesterday of a 17-0 lead, a 17-3 lead at halftime. You held the opposing offense to fewer than 150 yards of total offense, and you somehow found a way to shoot yourself in the foot hard enough to lose that game. That's a tough one to swallow for the Titans yesterday.
It depends on your outlook, though, with what you're saying, because if you're a Titans fan who wants this football season to not be torturous, then yeah, you hope this is a game that, because you're in the playoff hunt still in December, because you've figured things out and Levis has played well and you've gotten a lot of things going, that you regret. You know, we may be in December saying, hey, good thing they blew that game because now they get to pick number two in the draft.
could be.
You know, it's like some people are looking at it that way. They're like, told you, they're going to be cheeks.
Yeah,
I'm not ready to go there yet. But yeah, it's the schedule is such that, as we said before the season, this is one of those really important ones to grab. And it was right there.
That's the thing.
You look at the offensive stats of the Bears and just show you that, and I'm like, oh, so the Titans won by 17 or so, right? So that's just where you squandered it. Now the schedule does get a little maybe easier with the Packers coming in a couple weeks than I thought it would be.
See how Malik goes.
But we'll see.
I mean, maybe Jordan Love's ready. Just plays on one leg at that point, which, quite frankly, I would rather see on Saturday or on Sunday when I go than to watch Malik Willis play quarterback.
You know, you just need to enjoy Lambeau, the surroundings, the cheese curds. You know, I mean, all
enjoy
you know,
some
the spotted
Miller Lite
cow.
While I'm watching it too, because good gracious,
let the spotted cow flow. Okay, don't focus on the fact that you thought you were seeing Jordan Love and you know. Play
I try
for
to
your
be
Packers
very very kind with my language most of the time. The words that were coming out of my mouth while Jordan Love was on the ground the other night are not good. I cannot repeat.
I need to find your tweet was absolute wordsmithery. I'm gonna read it at some point here before the show ends for the listener, because I could feel the emotion come through that tweet.
Man. Yeah, it was real nice. Justin on the text line: is it too early to say I'm ready for the NHL season? 1 week. That's all I can take. Titans football. 1 week. Ready to go. Well, to your point, it's one thing before the season to look at games on paper and say, well, based on the schedule, this should be something that the Titans win. It's another thing when it goes from on paper to, oh, they've got a 17-0 lead and it gave up fewer than 150 yards of offense and you found a way to lose it. Like, sometimes the way that things actually end up playing out and the way that we think it will on paper are two very different things. Like, you know, on paper, I think we would probably all agree that the Jets are a better football team than the Titans are. If the Titans find themselves up 21-3 against the Jets and blow that lead, it will be, well, they probably should have lost on paper, but my God, they're up 21-3. Go win the game. It's just, that's what makes yesterday's sting even worse.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm reading this right now. So, one, this is Robbie Stanley Friday night. One, I hope Jordan Love is okay. My mental health depends on it. Two, if my first trip to Lambeau next week involves watching Malik Willis play quarterback, I will be mad enough to kill.
I stand by it.
And then later, football sucks. Hate it. Good night. But it's all.
It's through the ringer.
It's not as bad as it appears. And maybe Titans fans, how about that for a segue? This also is not as bad as it appears.
Maybe it's also not as bad as it appears. But the offense got a lot of work to do. I mean, we've had a lot of text today about Brian Callahan, too, and the play calling. Look, I don't know. I don't have any grand takeaways from the play calling based on 1 week of Brian Callahan operating, in which the quarterback was missing throws and the offensive line in the second half couldn't block. Now, I will say this, too. The offensive line was bad in the second half. At some point, like the offensive line excuse for the quarterback and the offensive line excuse for the whole franchise is going to fall on deaf ears, fair or unfair. It just is at some point. And I do have hope. Like, Latham got schooled a couple of times yesterday. I still have faith Latham is going to be a good player.
I agree. He will be a good player.
You know, Skoronski got whipped on a couple of pass blocking reps yesterday. I did think, especially in the first half, I mean, they were mauling people in the running game. So I'm not really to just abandon hope with the offensive line that as the season goes on, it can at least be adequate as they move forward here. But there's a lot of work to do on the offensive side of the ball. And it just the second half was so putrid, even before the interception, where they just got nothing going, that it felt like it's felt for the last 2 years, just watching them play offense on that side of the ball. And that's probably more disappointing than anything else.
Exactly, because, look, if you're a Titans fan today and you lost that game, you know, like a 37-34 game because Caleb Williams went nuts or whatever, the defense, like, that would be disappointing. But if you are picking a side of the ball to be good this year, it's the offense. I'm sorry, but, like, it's just been too much awful offense for too long. And you drafted a left tackle in the first round, and you signed the best center on the market, and you signed a number one receiver and one of the best slot receivers, and you signed a really good running back who was your best player on offense yesterday, by the way. All those things. You brought in one of the best offensive line coaches in the history of the NFL, and you brought in one of the bright, young offensive minds, and it was just terrible in the second half yesterday, top to bottom.
It was. And how much better can it get? I mean, you hope – look, we knew at some point this year – I said it last week – Will Levis is going to play some bad games this year. The hope is he's also going to play some really good ones. I mean, the hope was the first one wouldn't have been as bad as it was, but it was. So now you've got to – that's your starting point with this offense. You got to find a way to get better. And again, the interception is all that people are going to talk about today, and I get it. It was horrible. It was one of the worst plays I've ever seen a quarterback make, a starting quarterback in the NFL. But I'm way more concerned about the gimmies that he's missing than I am that interception.
Yeah.
I just am.
Right. And if it was last year and this happened, you're like, man, is this guy just so YOLO that he needs to sit down?
Yeah.
But we saw him play 9 games, and for the most part, I thought in terms of decision-making, he was fine last year. It was, you know, and he played 2 very good games last year. I mean, the game at Miami, he was outstanding in the second half. So we've seen him play good football, but I'm with you. It's still like, can you get to the point where you are – zipping it in over and over. He worked so much on mechanics and all that stuff, right? So much talk of that. And it just didn't, if anything, yesterday, I think it was one of the – take away the mistake. I think it was one of the worst games we've seen him play.
Yeah.
Of his now 10, I guess, in the NFL.
Yeah. And that
– apart from the mistake.
Apart from the disastrous mistake, I would agree. And is that going to be what he is? Like, again, I'm not asking for perfection. But there's only so many shots you get in the NFL with the receivers being wide open. You have to take advantage of them more times than not. You have to. That's what the best quarterbacks do. You know, Brady didn't make every throw. Mahomes doesn't make every throw. Rodgers doesn't make every throw. But they make most of them. And you got to find a way to make most of them. And look, you don't have to be Rodgers, Brady, or Mahomes to be an effective quarterback in the league. But you just can't miss layups. And he missed way too many layups yesterday.
And then, as we've discussed, also taking those shots. And there's just a lot, you know, there's just a lot that just has to be, you know, you start over this week. And again, what's hard for him in this offense, the Titans, is the Jets are coming in here with a flat-out better defense than the Bears. The Bears have a good defense. Darrell Taylor, though, like he's, you know, he's a guy, bounces around and looked like LT on a play yesterday that resulted in a strip sack.
But Jets have some dudes.
The Jets are absolutely better, as I say a few hours before the Niners put 40 on them. But I'm confident that's going to be one of the biggest challenges of the season for the Titans.
I don't care what the Niners do tonight. They could score 40. The Jets have a better defense than what you just saw.
And, you know, the Packers also, I know. How do you feel about your Packers defense?
Well, I would advise the Titans to run the ball in that game, which I think they can have some success doing.
Well, the Titans need to be advised to run the ball every single. They're going to win football games. It's going to be running the ball successfully, and then you have to obviously do more in the passing game, play action, all that stuff, and then playing defense.
Lance on the text line. It's ironic that Butt Fumble Sanchez was calling that game. What's worse, a 25-yard backhand pick six or the butt fumble?
Well, the butt fumble will live on in infamy much longer.
It will.
Because it's such a weird play. But, you know, it wasn't all him, right? It wasn't all on Sanchez, was it?
I don't think so.
It was just a weird play. But good call, though. That is a very good point to make.
I think of with his career.
I mean, that is how his career will be defined.
Yeah.
I'm confident this will not be how Levis – what will happen with Levis is, like, if it flames out, then it'll just be, like just a lot of mayonnaise talk.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's why you do the mayonnaise commercial, by the way. Because you don't know what's going to happen in this league if you're a quarterback.
Get some of that money. Final thoughts on the Titans' loss to the Bears coming up next. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at John Bon Jovi's this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for the pregame show. Break down the Titans Week 2 matchup against the Jets and give you the latest updates before the game. Pregame show presented by Parma Tractor and Equipment and Sundeck Nashville.
Where?
John Bon Jovi's.
We have a John Bon Jovi's in town?
Apparently. As I have said before, I am Ron Burgundy, and I read what's in front of me.
What's that, Keezer?
It's JBJ's, man.
There you go.
Does this mean he's buying the Titans finally?
I mean, somebody contact Lock and Fora and see if we can't get this confirmed.
My goodness. I got to check out some. You know, we got the – there's some places I got to check out. I got to check out John Bon Jovi's.
I agree.
What is this him
Maybe
buying the Titans?
Maybe I'll go heckle Stilly. What's that?
What is this him buying the Titans? I've never heard about that.
Oh, that goes way back.
A long time ago.
We'll get Kakarski.
Kuharsk.
Who, by the way, called Brian Cahill and Brian Kelly earlier on the show. Man, we got to work with Paul. He's
did not walk
Ooh,
out.
Oh, boy.
Brian Kelly. I smoke weed constantly.
You know that cold Ackerman? I tell you what.
That was terrible.
Yeah, that wasn't your best.
No, but yes, it goes way back. Jason Lockhamfor at one point reported something along the lines of John Bon Jovi close to buying
the Titans.
And Kuharsky still gives him crap for it, and I think that they actually would get into a physical altercation if they're ever in the same room. They would legitimately have a fist fight.
Legitimately fight.
Everyone sucks. Google Gaga. Suck.
Yeah, he is a gold mine, though, isn't he? Like his own voice is way better than me doing his voice.
Oh man!
He also said that Jeffrey Simmons was smiley in the locker room after the game. I was like, really? First of all, I would ask for the video from Paul, but I don't want to see a bunch of naked people. So I mean, is that his own video with the smiles? Or I'd like to know, was Jeff Simmons actually smiley after this game?
We need to be put up for review. Yeah. We need to report back.
That sounds like maybe a little bit of hyperbole from PK. I don't know.
I haven't seen the video, so I have to go back and watch the video.
Anyone, let us know if you've seen this. I mean, I know Jeffrey Simmons, you know, he should be happy with the defensive effort, right?
Sure.
And also, like, I wouldn't blame the defensive guy if they were a little bit upset with the offensive effort.
Well, I wouldn't either.
But after week one, you're not going to get that.
Maybe walking into the special teams meeting this week and saying, hey, you guys ever thought about, you know, protecting the punter, or when the ball's 7 yards deep into the end zone on the kickoff, just saying, you know what, we'll take the touchback at the 30, which was mystifying to me yesterday. Which, by the way, I would love to see the percentage on it, on what it ends up being. I know this, the Thursday night game, the kickoff was a non-factor. The Friday night game in Brazil, the kickoff was a non-factor. You know, the Titans game yesterday, it should have been more of a non-factor than it ended up being. So I'm interested to see around the league what the number ends up looking like in terms of returns versus touchbacks.
My son told me last night it's 22% down from 30-something last year. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but he saw that somewhere.
Well, then the kickoff rule is not quite accomplishing
what they thought it would accomplish at this point. Then I guess when there's a return now, you don't have the the violent full speed collision, so that's good. But yeah, you're not if that those numbers are true or close to true, then you're not really achieving the objective with that.
It's an underrated part of it. I appreciate in some ways Jaquan Jackson trying to make a play. It's his first NFL game yesterday. Somebody this week probably needs to have a conversation with him, like, hey man, you better be real sure before you take that ball out of the end zone.
Well, yeah, and if a veteran is telling you not to, then
stay.
Yeah, go ahead and listen to that. Yeah, a lot of mistakes from the Titans yesterday. Some of them just incredibly bad. Again, the special teams, like overall, yeah, going to those meeting rooms, like, can I help in any way? Can I help you guys? You guys need some help? The fact that they got Stonehouse obliterated in his first game back
it's a joke.
Of all things that you can't let happen. And that play, Levis's play lost the game, but like if you take away the punt block, do the Bears win this game?
No. No, they don't. And again, I mean, you can't take away any of it. I get it. And Levis can't make that play when it's 17-16. I mean, you can't make that play if you're up 35-0. I mean, you can't make that play ever. But the timing of it was just really bad. And you read off the stat earlier from TD in terms of allowing 150 yards or less and the Bears winning that game. There was one way for you to lose that game yesterday based on the way it played out, and it was just to totally shoot yourself in the foot. And that's exactly what they did. Didn't block the punt. Didn't block on the punt, and then the interception was just killer. It's such a brutal way to lose the game and start the season. It's just bad.
It
bad,
is.
Bad, bad.
And again, it's like it's blowing the game. And by the way, it has been quite a run Titans in week one here.
It really has.
Just either get blown out or
got their doors blown off against Arizona. You had the disastrous second half against the Giants where they screwed that one up.
Yeah.
You had the Saints game last year where Tannehill couldn't complete a pass in the second half of the game, no matter how open somebody was. And then what we saw from Levis yesterday. That's a heck of a run they're on right now in season openers.
Rebecca says, what if it is as bad as it appears? It might be. We're not saying it's not as bad as it appears. Just saying it isn't necessarily.
Jordan Love.
Someone says 5.1 PFF grade for pass blocking. Who is that? The whole Titans as a whole? Have we not seen PFF grades? Did Glennon not tweet out PFF grades?
I mean, look, they've changed Twitter so much right now. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if Glennon's done it yet or not. I need to find it.
We can get to those tomorrow. We can do a full PFF segment tomorrow, but I would be interested. I'd be interested in, not that I put much into those grades, but I'm sure there's some interesting numbers coming out of this one.
I'm sure there are some interesting numbers coming out of it. And really the question is, how quickly can the Titans offense improve? Because I will say, we saw them for a very limited amount of action in the preseason. The joint practices against Seattle, starters on starters, did not go well for the Tennessee Titans. The starters on starters in the regular season game against Chicago did not go well for the Titans on the offensive side of the ball. So, until otherwise proven, I think it's a fair question to ask, does the Titans offense just stink? Like, is the offense not very good? And if that's the answer, then it's going to be a long year.
Right. Like, the blowing the game is bad, but also just the potential that that's true again. That's tough. It's tough for Titans fans. Austin's got, we should have kept Vrabel text. So, there we go. We should have kept Vrabel text on the text line.
Hey. I mean, in all seriousness, I will say this. It's been a lot of love for Brian Callahan over the offseason. This happens every time you make a coaching change and there's a nice honeymoon period. And I don't even know that we're necessarily out of the honeymoon period yet. But it is, once the games start coming and you start to see the product, it is a little bit different.
Yes.
And it's been very different today on our text line.
Yes. All the talk is all the talk. And, boy, it changes quickly, doesn't it?
It changes very quickly in this league. So, if you're a Titans fan, heavy interest tonight in the Monday night football game. The Jets taking on the Niners. That is your week two opponent. So we'll see. Number one, can Rodgers make it through the game, stay healthy? What does that look like? Because I'll say this. There'll be a lot of down Titans fans tomorrow if the Jets go on the road tonight and just obliterate San Francisco. So that'll be fun to watch.
Yeah. You're going to need to, hold them to like 6 points to win. By the way, Megan says it's on Twitter, confirm no naked people. But do we confirm that he's smiley? This is what I need to know.
We'll get back at it tomorrow.
We'll review tomorrow.
615-737-1025. We'll have you covered all day long here on 1025 The Game. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. This has been Robbie and Rex Road.